Greetings to you. We are obviously doing a video presentation today as we join together with the friends and family from First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove. And we want to welcome you to be a part of our worship time today. Let me start by just simply relating several things to you. I'm Pastor Jay Scribner, the interim pastor at First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove. And it obviously would be an understatement to say that we are living in difficult days. That's why we're doing the presentation of worship like we are right now. I know that it's been a major change for all of us. And this is just a reminder that daily we are trusting in the Lord. I was talking to someone just earlier today, and she was expressing some little bit of a scary feeling and a little bit of a difficulty that they were having and getting their minds around everything that's going on. And I said, well, Ruth, really, the circumstance is no different today than it was a week ago or a month ago. And that is this. When we woke up this morning, we're trusting God. We're trusting in the Lord. And so consequently, nothing's changed. We're just continuing to express our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ today, just like God wants us to in every day, in every way. And so let's join together in faith and trust, and we will watch God unfold the things before us according to His plan and according to His direction in our lives. Let me remind the people of First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove that all of our regular schedule has been canceled through the end of March. We'll assess everything as we go along, and we will look to see what changes we might need to make beyond that, if any. But at this point, I just want to remind everyone that everything at the church and with our church activities has been canceled or postponed through the end of March. Now, we will attempt to reschedule our ladies' event, which had been scheduled for this coming Saturday, transformational afternoon, and that will be a tremendous thing. And so we'll keep you posted on when that rescheduling will be. The same thing with the Real Encounter Rally that had been scheduled for March 25 at the Mountain Grove High School and the corresponding school assemblies going along with that. That will be rescheduled. We're looking at a date, hopefully later in April, to be able to do that. So just stay alert and attuned to the different schedule changes and the things that we will be looking forward to in the days ahead. And we'll do our very best to keep you posted and to keep you informed regarding all of that. So let me give you these four things about the circumstances right now. First of all, be prayerful. That probably goes without saying, but we need to be reminded of that. Be prayerful for yourselves, for one another, for our church. Be prayerful for our nation. Be prayerful for the world. The entire world is engulfed in these catastrophic events right now. So this calls the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ, to be very deliberate about our prayer time. So let me encourage you to be very prayerful. Also, let me encourage you to be faithful. Be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful to His Word. With our schedule changes, for some of us, it may give you additional time that you can spend in God's Word. Don't neglect that. So let me encourage you to be in God's Word and to let God hear from you and for you to hear from God. He wants to communicate with you. Be sensitive to your own circumstances. Be careful about our cleanliness, and be careful about taking care of yourselves. Be careful about washing your hands and keeping your immune system up, and just be sensitive to your own needs, but also be sensitive to others' needs as well. The elderly among you, and those that may need special care and special attention. So be very sensitive to that at this time. And then finally, be giving. Let me encourage you to give as you minister to others. Give of yourself, give of your time. But also don't forget that the bills at the church are ongoing. And so those of you who are tithers, let me encourage you to not neglect that. Those of you that give systematically, even though you're not there, you can mail your offerings to the church or drop it by. But be giving during this time, and just be conscientious about maintaining your tithes and offerings with God's house and God's ministry. Now, let me also remind you that this month is our Annie Armstrong offering. And so our goal at the church is $4,000. And I haven't checked this morning to see what our very latest receipts have been, but we're probably not at half of that yet. So let me encourage you to make that a matter of prayer. You remember that our Annie Armstrong offering is an offering for the North American missions. That includes the United States of America. And what a desperate need there is within our own country to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let me give a couple of First Baptist Church spotlight focal points. One, I want to express congratulations to Cade Kaufman. He, of course, is in attendance at Evangel University and great star on the Evangel Crusaders basketball team. You need to be aware that he was recently selected for the all-conference team. Well-deserved, Cade. Way to go. I've watched a couple of his ball games, and this guy is a great athlete. I'll tell you something else about Cade. He's a great servant of the Lord. He's a good ambassador for Jesus Christ. I appreciate the fact that Cade is at home on frequent Sundays, and a lot of those Sundays, Cade is working in our children's department. He loves kids, and he loves ministering in that area. Cade, we're very proud of you, so God bless you. And then another spotlight goes to Rylan White. You may not be aware of the fact that the last 2 weeks that Rylan's been at church, he went back up to the cheap seats in the balcony, but he did it on his own. He got out of his wheelchair and he walked up those steps and he went with his family to the balcony. Rylan, you are doing a great job of recovery, and we are so proud of you and the way that you are really being energetic about making sure that your recovery goes well. You sure are doing your part, and we're thankful that God's doing his part to bring recovery to you. Rylan, we're very proud of you. Well, today you're going to see a time of worship by way of video, and not only will it include this opening segment, but you're going to get to hear our youth praise band and praise team. They do a great job, and they're going to be ministering to us musically today. And then also, you're going to have a children's segment that's going to be presented by Kathy Dickey, our coordinator of children's ministry. She does a marvelous job, and she's got an army of workers and helpers that help our children's ministry to be very successful. You're going to get to hear from her today, and then you'll have about a 20-minute message that I'll be sharing today from God's Word. All of that is ahead, so God bless you. Thank you for joining us by way of this remote broadcast today. And I'd like to lead us in prayer now before we move into our worship segment. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and your grace to us. Thank you for the way that you are so constant and so consistent in extending your love and grace and mercy. Father, we are living in perilous times. We're living in difficult times. We're living in times that are really challenging our faith. And so I pray that you would help our faith to be strong. Our hope is in you. And we thank you that really nothing's changed from a few days or a few weeks ago to today. Our hope is in you, just like it has been. Our faith is in you. Our trust is in you. I pray for the circumstances of our nation and the circumstances of the world, the entire world gripped by this coronavirus. I pray, Father, that you would intervene. I pray that you would cause this virus to subside. I pray that we would be able to get back into a normal routine. But yet, Father, I pray that from this moment on, our routine would not be normal. I pray that our faith would grow, that our faith would develop. I pray that our walk with you would get closer. I pray that our service to you would get more deliberate. I pray, Father, that during this time where people are looking for hope, I pray that they would find that the only person that can give everlasting, stable hope is Jesus Christ. So I pray that during this time that you would sweep millions of people into your kingdom, that people would turn to you and trust in you. And I pray that the church, your people, would be strong ambassadors for Christ. I pray that we might be salt and light. I pray, Father, that we would give a strong testimony. And when people ask us a reason of the hope that is in us, that we would be able to give a declaration of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, for our own people at Mountain Grove and at First Baptist Church, that we would be a strong lighthouse, a strong beacon in these troubled times. I pray that you would help us to be sensitive to one another. I pray that you would help us to be encouraging to one another and to minister to one another. I pray that you would keep our people safe from sickness and safe from harm. And I ask, Father, that you would show yourself strong and powerful on our behalf in these days. We love you. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, your tender kindness toward us. And I pray now, Father, that you would receive our worship from people with grateful hearts. We are so grateful for our relationship with you through Jesus Christ. And it is in his name and his sake that we pray. Amen. All right, now join us as we continue to worship.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kathy Dickey, and I am the Children's Ministry Director here at Mountain Grove First Baptist Church. And I'm coming to you this morning to share a message with the children in our church, since we can't be together in person this morning. But before we get to the lesson, I'd like to let you all know about a new Facebook page that we are putting up. It's for the children's ministry at our church, and it will help us to all keep in touch during this time when we can't be together. If you'd like that on Facebook, I will be sharing resources and announcements and just information about our activities going on in the children's ministry here. So moving on to our lesson, I'd like to have all the children make sure they're near the screen this morning, and I want to talk to them directly today. So, good morning, kids. I'm here in the preschool classroom at church, and I'm so sad that we can't be together this morning, but I thought we'd still get together and have a short lesson, and I want to talk to you about some important things. First of all, do you guys know what courage is? Do you know what it means to have courage? Have you ever had to do something hard or scary that you didn't really want to do? Courage is doing it anyway, even though it's hard or scary or difficult. Maybe you've had to get shots, I'm sure you have, or move to a new school, talk to somebody that you didn't really know well. Maybe you've even rode a scary roller coaster with a friend, even though you didn't really want to. All of those things require courage. Some of us might need some extra courage right now because we're hearing scary words like coronavirus or COVID-19 or quarantine. And it may be kind of confusing because we don't really know what those words mean, and we may not understand when our parents try to explain them even. And sometimes when our normal routine of school and soccer practice and going to church is not happening like we expect it to, it can be a kind of confusing and fearful time. So today I want to do a little demonstration to help you guys understand how we can maybe replace our fear with courage from Jesus. So today I have some baking soda. Actually, we're going to start with a jar. We have this nice, clear, pretty jar, and this is going to represent your body. It's we're going to put some fear inside it, which is represented by our baking soda. And that fear can come from anywhere. It can be, like what I said, just something scary you have to do. Maybe you have to go to the dentist. And sometimes we can let that fear really fill up our mind and our body and kind of overtake that. So we've got that. Now we have some vinegar over here, and this represents Jesus coming into our heart and into our life and into our mind. And what happens to the fear when we fill up with Jesus instead of fear? What happens to that fear? It just bubbles away and is replaced by the peace and love and grace of Jesus. See how that's all bubbling away? I'm not sure if you can see it on the camera. Now, there might be a little fear left in there because we are human, and sometimes we just can't seem to get rid of it all. But we just need a little more Jesus, a little more of him, and we can get rid of more and more of that. Now, I want you to think about, how can you fill yourself up with Jesus today? You're not going to pour vinegar into your body. That's just what we're doing here to kind of demonstrate this. So think of some ways you can fill yourself up with Jesus today. That might be reading your Bible or having your mom or dad read it to you. That might be praying, taking some quiet time to pray to God. Or ask your mom or dad or your grandparents to pray with you. Maybe listening to some praise music or singing some songs. I'm going to put some on our Facebook later today, and your mom and dad could play those for you. Another thing you might do is to think of some times in your life when you've been afraid and God has brought you through that time. If you need some ideas of what to read in your Bible, I'm going to put some of that on our Facebook page today too, some different verses and stories. So that is all I have for us today. But before we go, I'd like to pray with you, and can't wait to see you guys again. Let's bow our heads and fold our hands. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and protection today. Thank you for each of these children and these parents that are listening today. God, I pray you would just fill us with your courage and your boldness. Help us to be a light in this community. We pray, Lord, for those that are sick or hurting today. We pray that you would just continue to protect us and guide us and give us your wisdom. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. In your name we pray. Amen. See you guys soon.
Right now, I would like to share from God's Word with you, and I want to share some thoughts over the next few minutes entitled, When Your Plans Get Changed. Wow, that's where we are right now, isn't it? Not only have our plans been changed, our whole life has been changed. I believe that would be safe to say about everybody in the United States, everybody in Mountain Grove, everybody at First Baptist Church, those not from this area that are tuning in, when your plans get changed. Now, let me read the passage of Scripture that is just on the heels of the wise men who came to Jesus and came from the east to worship the baby Jesus, or the young child. Jesus would have been approximately 2 years of age at this time. So let me pick it up in verse 11, and I'm in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and this is the last couple of verses, and then we're going to read to the end of the chapter. So Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother." Now, be alert to the fact that they're not at the stable where Jesus was born. They're not at Migdal Edar. They're at a house, and this is a young child. We know by this context that he would have been approximately 2 years of age by this time. "So when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod. that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. When your plans get changed. In this scenario, in this story right here, we see two or three changes of plans. So let me give you these five things when your plans get changed. Our plans have been changed, haven't they? Drastically. Our lives have been altered in a very dramatic way. These five things. Number one, sometimes our plans get changed rather quickly. This certainly has been that case. Just a week or two ago, things were going along as normal. Just a week or two ago, we did not find ourselves in the throes of this dramatic catastrophe. Well, let me point out two or three things from this passage. Verse 12, these wise men that had come from the east, you recall that they had gone to Jerusalem to inquire about the birth of the king of the Jews, and Herod acted as if he was concerned about this and wanting in a positive way to find out about this. But we know the story there. But they followed the star. They went to where Mary and Joseph and Jesus were, in a house, and they fell down and worshiped him. But it says in verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Another way. I like to say that when you've been with Jesus, you leave another way. Because when you really encounter Jesus Christ, He changes you, doesn't He? Well, these wise men, they had their plans changed. They were going to go back to Herod just like he had asked, because they had believed his deceit and they were going to go back there. But God warned them, don't do that. Don't do that. And so it says that they departed another way. Their plans were changed. Well, going down to verse 13, and it says, And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. I can assure you, Joseph hadn't planned to do that. But God warned him, you're going to have a change of plans here. Now, God may not have spoken to you or I in a dream, although I do find that God many, many times seems to work the night shift. Have you ever sensed that in your own life? I have God speaking to me at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning more than other times. I would prefer 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't mind telling you. So God spoke to Joseph and said, "Now your plans are changing here." Well, that's the way it is. And they went to Egypt. And then on down, verses 22 and 23, in this section of Scripture, we see another change of plans. Verse 22 and 23. When he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, even though Herod was dead, here's his son Archelaus that's ruling. And it says that Joseph was afraid to go there. And so again, God warned him in a dream, and he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and that's where he ended up being in Nazareth. And it says there where the prophets had spoken, he shall be called a Nazarene. So in this small section of Scripture, we actually see three instances of plans being changed. Our plans have been changed right now, haven't they? They sure have. And you can believe God knows all about it. God knows all about it. And sometimes, that's point number one, sometimes our plans get changed rather quickly. Here's point number two. Wait on God. Wait on God. Verse 13. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word." You see that? Verse 13. Until I bring you word. So how long are our plans going to be changed now? I don't know. I don't know. And you don't either. God does. Let's wait on Him. Let's wait on God. Don't get ahead of Him. Don't lag behind until He brings us word. And I'm not talking about President Trump. I'm not talking about the coronavirus task force. I'm not talking about the CDC. I'm talking about God. Let's wait on Him. Let's wait daily until we hear from Him about what we need to do next. All right, here's point number three, and that is, it can get scary. It can get scary. Did you see that where Joseph was afraid to go there? Because, Herod had wanted to kill Jesus. Matter of fact, he did cause so many, many children to be killed because of his vile, vile character. And so can you imagine the fact that Mary and Joseph would have had some fear in that? Well, just go back earlier when they were told to flee into Egypt. Can you imagine what that would have been? A country change, a total change for them. Leaving their family, leaving their home, leaving their ancestors, leaving their heritage, not knowing what the future was going to be, would have been scary. Some people listening to this right now may have been gripped with some fear in the last few days or weeks. And so, it's okay. Just trust God. Trust in the Lord. Place your faith in Him. He knows all about it. And some of your children may be fearful help them through it, help them to have faith, help them to see you trusting in God, encourage them, and as a family, work through any fears you might have, any personal concerns, and sure we do. We've got those. Encourage one another, be hopeful, and be prayerful. All right, here's number four. Number one, sometimes our plans get changed rather quickly. Number two, wait on God. Number three, it can get scary. Number four, God's plans will be fulfilled. God's plans will be fulfilled. Let me call your attention to these verses. Verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Verse 17, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. Verse 23, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. I think I may have told you before about my friend Jimmy Carricker, who is the pastor of the First Nazarene Church here in Branson. He reminds me frequently that John was the Baptist, Jesus was the Nazarene. Can't really argue with that. But here's what I want you to see in verse 15 and 17 and 23. It's according to the prophets. It's according to God's word. History is His story. And when your plans get changed, they're not what we have planned, but God's plans will be fulfilled. You can count on it because it's His word. It's His guidance. It's His direction. We want to function by faith. We've been studying about that the last several weeks. God's plans will be fulfilled. Here's the last thing I want you to see. Number one, sometimes our plans get changed rather quickly. Number two, wait on God. Number three, it can get scary. Number four, God's plans will be fulfilled. Number five, respond obediently to God. Respond obediently to God. Verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So God warned them. God sent them home another way, and that's what they did. Verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, because God had told him that in verse 13. And that's what Joseph did. Day by day, you and I just simply need to be obedient to the Lord. Obedient to God. However God leads you, however God directs you, it's a matter of walking obediently to Him and to His Word. Well, we're living in difficult days. We're living in perilous times. We're living in the signs of the times and the time of the signs. Let's trust God. Encourage one another. Be strong. Be faithful. Be obedient to walk with the Lord. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. Have a great week. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Give us instruction in your word and help us to walk obediently in your word day by day, moment by moment. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great, great day.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of lows. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Oh, your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be over.